Welcome to Right Spokane Perspective with your host, Tim.
And Shannon.
It's opinion, fact, information, and your alert system. Stay tuned and enjoy the show. And welcome back to Right Spokane Perspective on this Monday episode. We're going to be talking about some local issues and the local papers. Sometimes we get some good stuff out of there. There is information. Don't always agree with it, but at least there's some information there. But we'll dive in after some inspiration.
And the inspiration today comes from Numbers chapter 22. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth. Jack knew how to put trains on the right track. In 9 years of work, he never missed a track switch as locomotives drew near the Uitenhage South African station, indicating by their whistles the direction they were to go. Jack was also a baboon. Jack was cared for by railroad signalman James Wild, and Jack in turn took care of James. Wide had lost both of his legs in a fall between moving rail cars. He trained him to help with tasks around the house, and soon Jack assisted him at work also, learning how to respond to the incoming train signals by pulling corresponding levers for their tasks. The Bible tells of another animal that helped someone in a surprising way. Balaam's donkey. Balaam was a pagan prophet serving a king who intended to harm the state of Israel. As Balaam was riding his donkey en route to assist that king, the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it spoke to Balaam in Numbers 22. The donkey's speech was part of the way God opened Balaam's eyes, warned him of the imminent danger, and kept him from harming his people. A railway baboon, a talking donkey, why not? If God can use these amazing animals for good purposes, it's not at all far-fetched to believe he can use you and me as well. Looking to him and seeking his strength, he can accomplish more than we ever thought possible. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to serve you. God, I want you to use my hands, my feet, my mouth, whatever you like. Please help me to live for you today and all days, that you may be honored. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, God created a lot of things, and they can be used for good or evil, and it sure seems like the citizenry, the voters, the taxpayers could use a baboon to pull the right levers on the tracks of government, like in that inspiration where the man was injured and lost his legs and trained a baboon to pull the right levers. Well, I don't know if we have baboons that could be legally trained to pull the right levers of government, but it seems like the ones that are there now have not been trained properly. I know the Congress is definitely a meeting of baboons, or is that monkeys? I think that's a Congress is a gathering of monkeys. That's what it is. But a baboon's fine too, as long as the right lever gets pulled. And it seems like the wrong lever is getting pulled all the time, which is why we have such high inflation. And we're looking at some increasing costs here in the city of Spokane. It looks like, according to last week's newspaper, we are going to see city fees going up, and the garbage collection is going to cost 10% more in 2024. So that's the waste management contract for garbage. And they're saying that the other utilities are going to remain the same, but it was my understanding that the city government already had decided it was going to be 2.9% increase. But according to the public works director in Spokane, I'll just quote her, "We decided to forego increases in water, wastewater, etc." So the other services the city provides. "So the average customer would see the same overall 2.9% increase they've gotten used to during the last decade." So what that tells me is that we're still going to see 2.9% increase. They're just foregoing the added increase, because what they did was they tied the city rates to basically the consumer price index inflation. And it looks like the garbage service, that's a contract through waste management, is going to be going up by 10%. But that's not really a lot if you look at how much inflation we've suffered. Now, it's a lot of money for some people. It's bad. But these are the baboons in D.C. that are pulling levers, spending money, which caused the inflation. So I can't blame the garbage department necessarily or city government for these cost increases because of the, you know, gathering of the monkeys in Congress, the central banking system, Federal Reserve, and they're just spending money. They're passing budgets that are trillions of dollars. And like we said in a show last week, you know, Department of Justice, billions of dollars that were frauded through the COVID dollars because they just flushed money everywhere. And of course, that made it look like our economy's good. Yeah, money's flowing. Everybody seems to be doing okay. They're, if they work hard, their people have trucks, cars, they have a place to live. Except the flow of money is ending.
But I have to look at it from the other direction, Tim. What about the people? I didn't get a 10% increase in wages. Did you get a 10% this year?
Probably not.
Maybe over the last 3 or 4 years, but 10% this year? No. Therefore, we have less money to buy gas with, and the gas costs more.
Well, people's,
we have less money for food.
Yeah. Well, people's disposable income is definitely...
definitely down, and that hurts the farmers. That hurts the people that are in that entire...
But you're supposed to ignore that. They indicted Trump. Trump had to get fingerprinted, right? That's what you're supposed to pay attention to. And that is, we talked about how elections are rigged, and I almost didn't want to go say it that way, but it really is. We talked about that this last week when we were talking. And how do the elections get rigged? I don't know. I'm looking at the local newspaper. Now, sometimes there's good stories and there's good things, but I'm looking at last Monday's newspaper, and I'm looking at last Tuesday's newspaper. So this was Monday, actually, August 21st. So if we're looking at August 22nd. So... you look at the two front pages next to each other, and one looks like a patriotic picture. We had all those devastating wildfires that ended up moving into the urban areas and burning down homes. And you have this picture of the Betsy Ross flag. You see, like, okay, so we're gonna rebuild this, right? America's, you know, citizens stand together. You get this feeling of this wonderful picture on the front page that, you know, there was devastation, but they live in America. These folks, there's insurance. There's going to be different things that happen.
And liberty and justice for all.
They're not going to be devastated. You know, even though they're devastated now, there's resources. There's, you know, money that's coming their way. There's nonprofits. There's people that are donating to the cause. You get this whole feeling of that with this newspaper. And then the very next day, the headline is Mayor Faces Scrutiny for Shay's Blessing, which is basically the local newspaper going after the mayor. And I'm not, whether you like the current mayor or not, this is a local pastor that has been in the press and they've attacked him like crazy, you know, in a controversial way. But this is how our elections are. Also, we talked about all sorts of things about the rigged elections last week on a show, but this is all the media does it. So they're going after a political candidate because she met with a group of thousands of people that the newspaper calls Christian nationalists. Now, I don't know if they're Christian nationalists. I actually know people that were at that event, and I thought it was just a worship and praise concert. And the mayor, as well as some other political leaders, and also some other, you know, what they call religious extremists. I'm trying to figure out, what do I call them? What are we supposed to call them? Because they create this narrative in the local newspaper, a religious extremist that you want your country to go back to Judeo-Christian values. That's where the Constitution is. That's kind of where the country started. And they're going after the mayor for that. Well, they didn't go after the mayor for being in the Pride Parade. So that might be controversial for some people. But some people might say, well, it's the mayor. So anytime thousands of people gather over an issue that might be on one side of the aisle or the other, you would think your mayor should be able to make an appearance without the media attacking the mayor.
She has to know what's going on. She can't stay in an ivory tower. She really has to be with the people. I would say some things are better to be with than others, but Thousands of people in Spokane, Washington are not white nationalists. And there were many people from various churches, but they were all Christ worshipers. And that's really the problem, because the writer of that article, Jim Cabinet, does not like Christ worshipers.
Well, and, you know, there was another event that I'm sure that other political candidates, maybe the mayor even, showed up to pig out in the park, right? There was a huge event, pig out in the park. Isn't that the biggest event? In
it is.
The center of the city, it's kind of like Bloomsday and Hoop Fest, and political people show up to those events too. Why is there never recognition of that? Because they can't do a political attack on the front page of the local newspaper, and that's how the media also influences elections, because they demonize
smear
people.
Campaigns.
Oh, tons of smear campaigns.
Smear
in the local
campaigns
press.
For each issue, for each candidate. When the newspaper reprints those. Smear campaigns, I have a saying that's, I think, appropriate. When you throw mud, you lose ground. And I believe that when you are a good candidate...
When you throw mud, you lose ground, because you're throwing literally the ground from underneath you at the opponents.
And mud stains.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So I kind of look at it this way, too. And I don't. Maybe voters will start doing it this way, I'm not sure. But if I don't know about a political candidate at all... And in my research, all I find is seemingly propaganda that doesn't seem like the truth. But I don't know if I believe the candidate either.
Five talking points.
Well, yeah, sometimes that's all you get a vote on, especially judges. There's no information on judges out there to make a decision. And so if there's something I don't know about and I'm unsure about, I look at who's supporting them, and I look at how much the media attacks them. Because if they're supported by good people, I'll vote for them. If they're supported by people that have helped craft horrible policy that's led us in a bad direction, I won't vote for them. If the media is attacking them in ways that don't make sense, I'm going to vote for them. That's kind of, it's a weird way of doing it. But obviously, our local media is, you know, not just our locality, it's all across the country, is left-leaning, their editorial boards take one side of the, they're basically Democrats, right? We've seen data that it's the media and the university system are pretty close to the same. About 90 to 95% of their leadership is far left. So if you see the far left doing so, the other way to do it with elections is go to progressive websites. They call themselves progressives because Marxist and communist isn't very good sales. So you go to their sites and you see who they're recommending and you just vote the opposite. Maybe go to Washington Public Disclosure Commission. Maybe one of the ways that people should start voting, since there's so much propaganda and control in elections, is just go to Washington PDC, and it's pdc.wa.gov, and look at how much money they have for their political campaigns and just vote for the people that have the least amount of money.
Well, or you can look and see which people gave them money. And I think that's a very telling as to who's given them money. And many of the PACs, you go, well, what are they about? They also have websites that you go to. But what we're talking about, Tim, is actually taking the responsibility of voting to spend time and effort. And we have to encourage people that is our right. It is also our responsibility. It is a privilege to have that freedom to express ourselves in that way. And until we take that sacred right back in an understanding, we're not going to get people willing to do the work that it takes to get to be an informed voter.
And it does take work, but I think a lot of the work is expanded on weeding through the mess of the propaganda. Oh, that's right. We call it misinformation now, right? Social media. And that's where I think this next election cycle, it's not going to happen with the local elections. The local elections, the local newspaper can smear their candidate. And a lot of folks out there don't think the current mayor is conservative enough. And maybe barely conservative at all in some people's opinions. But the local newspaper is going to try to put Lisa Brown into place just because that's what they're going to do. And Lisa Brown is the far left leaning progressive candidate. They do that at the local level, but the national elections coming up, I don't see, if we allow the all in mail ballot system and obviously, if you say an election's rigged and you get arrested, I don't see how the voters can turn it around unless, I guess we said it in the other show, I mean, people need to pray, seek his face, ask God to do something, because I think it's going to be an act of God to get the kind of voter turnout that's going to surpass the fix and the ballot harvesting and, you know, go so on and so forth with what's going on with elections. But we look at the thing on the ballot with the jail, and we talked about that with Representative Jenny Graham a little bit. And of course, we want our communities to be safer. Crime is up. The economy's going down. We know crime will go up as the economy goes down. That's how it's trended in this country for a very long time. If the economy goes down, then crime goes up. So what do we have to do? We have to find a way to keep our communities safe and keep our officers, like Jenny Graham said, from sitting there waiting to book people they've arrested into jail off the streets because they're just busy booking people into jail. So what does that mean? Well, if they booked them into jail last Friday and the Friday before, and what, you know, if they got 13 felonies, just keep them in the jail. And the voters, I think, are going to vote that way. I don't think the voters want a tax, but I think the voters want a safer community. And when they see these, you know, that's the actual reporting that's good that the newspaper does when they're talking about people being arrested and their past criminal histories, people don't really like that when somebody's violated so many people's rights, but they just keep getting let out over and over and over. So I think people are going to vote for the jail, but I also think people are going to vote to criminalize drug camps. Oh, excuse me. I mean, homeless camps from being in our parks and near schools and near child cares, because people want children safe.
I don't know that it's just safety that they need to do about the jails, but they need to look at how are they going to reform or correct. They're supposed to be Department of Correction, not just the Department of Punishment. And there has to be a way that when we vote for that jail, that there be a way that more community involvement, more skill training, more resources. We have to look at how are we going to prevent crimes, and recidivism has to go down, and they have to look at some ways, and other states are doing that. Recidivism is a major problem, and if we attack that with, if you're in here and you have to come back, your sentence gets doubled.
Well, I think instead of just looking at it as incarceration, we do have to look at rehabilitation. The problem that you have with doing something like that is that you have like the homeless industrial complex, that recidivism just means more customers, more government funding for their nonprofit that does the wonderful work of rehabilitating drug addicts by giving them different kinds of drugs, right? And I think we do have to have those conversations. We do have to have our elected officials make good decisions when it comes to sentencing policies and how we're going to hold people accountable. But I think the voters are going to look at this as a fairness issue, just like the homeless camping, right? In our parks, the drug, you know, people taking off their shirt, their clothes, screaming at the sky, or passed out on the sidewalk, twitching. You know, people are tired of seeing this like human degradation that we're funding because they've got food stamp card in their pocket. They're using all the resources that we fund downtown. They're using the homeless shelter on occasion when they want to. But the reality is that where's the fairness in this? If I want to go camp on state land, I have to have a discovery pass.
Yes, you have to pay. And it's a pretty high rate that you have to pay for that. And even
well, you got to pay for the discovery pass. You got to pay the parking fee. And right, if you don't pay it, what happens in short order?
Is they eject you from the park.
Right. It doesn't take a summer like Camp Dope. It doesn't take an act of the government to come out and say, well, we got to clean up. We're giving you an eviction notice. No, they just come and tow your stuff and give you fines. And so where's the fairness then? You got a city council. You've got a former city council president that wants to allow and sued to allow for these drug encampments in city parks.
And so we're cutting off our nose to spite our face. If we need higher fees for the park department, you and I are not going to take our little children to a park where there's people doing drugs openly and doing crazy things.
Yeah.
So they want more revenue. And in fact, having the homeless on state and federal land, in fact, is going to lower their revenue costs.
Well, actually...
And cost them in cleaning fees.
What they're doing, so it costs the taxpayers money because we got to clean up the encampments. It also costs the taxpayers some of these fires that are started by homeless individuals that are camping in urban areas, in a wooded area, like happened, I think it's the Latah Creek area that caught on fire a couple weeks ago. And so these government policies, we've got to get back to having the right baboon that's trained to pull the right levers of government. Because right now, the only lever of government that's getting pulled is the one that the dial goes around, cha-ching, 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 and they're just flushing money that's hard-earned tax money, and they want to increase taxes for all of these things. You know, going back to the jail, we shouldn't even have a tax increase for the jail. We should be looking at, where's government spending the money? Well, it spent, millions of dollars for a baseball stadium to get a renovation. Yeah, we spent a whole bunch of money, and it was a school bond measure. So that's the school's money and their ability to borrow funds to build a soccer stadium that the voters said they didn't want built there. We built another event center. You know, we're just, look at all the government money that gets spent everywhere. And why didn't we put the money into the jail in the first place?
Well, we were told, at least you weren't around, but I was told in 1974 that this jail would do for us until 1985. And we have outgrown 1985, that's for sure, in our population.
Oh, no, we don't. We just need to find the DeLorean and hop in. Go back to 1985. Well,
but, when you have a car, you have to set aside money for maintenance on your car.
Yeah.
And when you're
especially if it time travels.
but if you intend to get another car, you're going to have to set aside some money for that car. We have government that is supposed to understand budgeting, and they need to have money set aside.
They're not supposed to understand budgeting. We pay... I talked about it earlier or the other day. Those guys out there that you're like, how do they have that much money? I know there's small business owners, there's people independently. How come there's so many people that have that much money to have a $700,000 motorhome with an $80,000 vehicle towed behind it and they can just travel? And they look like they're 45. Because those are the people that are the budget analysts that are creating the budgets in our government. Those are the administrators.
Well, we need some different baboons then.
We got to get rid of the administrative class. Baboons are cheaper. An administrative class is really messing things up.
Well, I know there's some good administrators out there, and I know there's some people that care. And I even know that if we talk to administrators in different departments, we would find ways to cut those budgets, and we would find ways that would make us more effective.
If you talk to them anonymously, because... That's the problem with government budgets. Once they start a program, they never, ever get rid of it. Even if it's a program that doesn't work, even if it's totally unnecessary, even if whatever it was a short-term problem, they still fund they fund all sorts of ridiculous things, and they just tax us more to pay for something new or for something, like you said. So we've got the jail that they should have been looking at 35 years ago when... They finished building it 45 years ago, right?
Right.
They should have been looking at saying, okay, so we're growing. How fast are we growing? You just said, well, we've got some good people in administration. Well, sometimes we do. Maybe they're in silos. We can make all the excuses for incompetent government. But they know projections because we pay up other people six-figure salaries with great benefits to do projections. How large is your community going to be? We pay the federal government to look at what's the crime rate versus this kind of community in this area with this economic disparity or whatever they want to call it. They know within pretty close numbers where the population growth is going to happen. Now you've got some crazy, stupid things that happen, like New York, flushes half their population to Florida because they had the wrong baboons pulling the levers of government. Like the 900,000 people, I think it was, that left California and went to Texas because you got the wrong baboons pulling the levers of government, right? Especially in, what's his name? I think they think he's going to run for president. Newsom. Oh, that's right.
Gavin.
Yeah, Gavin Newsom. Newsom some more. So, the government policies that he's done, I don't know how he could run for president. But again, the wrong baboons pulling the levers of government. So you saw this massive movement of people, the largest movement of populations in U.S. history, because the wrong baboons were pulling the levers of government. They say the voters decided it, but I don't know. I think it has to do with mail-in ballot states. Yeah, that might have something to do with it. Maybe someone should look into that. I'm not going to say one way or the other, but I think New York's an all-mail-in ballot state. I think California's been an all-mail-in ballot state. Guess who else is? Washington. What direction are we headed? I don't know. Going the way of Seattle, San Francisco.
How's the growth in Idaho going? They're not a mail-in ballot system.
They're not a mail-in ballot system, but their growth is just like Texas and Florida, where people are leaving the all mail-in ballot states and going there. And so they're booming. I mean, they're going to have trouble trying to figure out how to keep up, just like Florida and Texas, keep up with infrastructure to keep up with the number of people moving to their states. And that's the thing. You see these states where they're going down these roads of never defunding anything in government, policies that are destructive to the people, and people are moving.
Elections have consequences.
Elections have consequences. And I think that we've got to be really, really active in the initiative processes. And I know there's a group out there this year, Let's Go Washington. They're doing some initiatives. People should find those and get them signed. Because eventually, the states that are all mail-in ballot that maybe we won't ever be able to solve, purely just in elections, maybe we can outlast. And obviously we can out debate, but they just maneuver. They're slimy. They maneuver around the debates and create, you know, new discussions and new agendas. But maybe we can solve it by just standing up and saying, no, you're not doing that here. You know, kind of like the country song that went viral. Try that in a small town. Maybe small town Washington should say, we're not going to let drug addicts just take over our community. Sorry, we're not doing that here. Local sheriffs. You got to get the community behind him. You know, we had Arnie Woodard from the city of Spokane Valley in the other day, and he kind of had that sentiment that, you know, the city of Spokane Valley is really low on how many officers they have and that people need to help police their own communities.
Taking personal responsibility lowers crime.
And, you know, a good fence sometimes makes good neighbors, but we can't put a fence between public spaces and private property and just let people take it over. And that was a conversation we did have with Arnie Woodard about the courts and the decision they made in the Boise versus Martin case for removing drug addicts, criminals, homeless people from, you know, whether it's city parks or the sidewalk in front of businesses or residences, because they're drugged out. Well, let's just make public drug use illegal again. If you are passed out on the sidewalk because of your heroin addiction, maybe you should see involuntary confinement until they find the root cause of the drug that's going to kill you.
That would be healthy for everyone.
So I think these common sense things, of course, what I'm saying is totally radical. Maybe I'll be on the front of the Spokesman Review newspaper being attacked for my position of, oh, wait, keeping the community safe. That is so, it's just dastardly.
It is.
Dastardly. Well, we're out of time for today's show. Folks out there, again, grab a hold of every issue you can, inform people, and let all the Democrats know they can always vote the second Wednesday of November. You make sure that the conservatives vote the first Tuesday. Grab all those initiatives, get them signed, get them off in the mail, and also, you know, be a part of gathering those signatures for Let's Go Washington, and make sure your neighbors know about the initiatives that are coming up for a vote that is on the ballot, because they do matter. Do you want to pay another tax for the jail, or don't you? It's your choice, but we definitely need something done, and I think that we just need better baboons to pull the levers of government. All that being said, we'll be with you folks again tomorrow. Bye-bye. You have been listening to Right Spokane Perspective. We are sponsored by Right Spokane Perspective LLC and made possible by advertisers you hear and contributions from listeners like you.